Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, St. Paul describes the Christians, as the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And then he says, now, if anybody had reason to be boastful about his fleshly accomplishments, certainly I have some, he says. And he says, listen, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Not only that, he goes on, he says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. That is, I can trace my lineage purely without any corruption all the way back to my ancient ancestor. I'm not a half Jew, a three-quarters Jew, or anything like it. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. And then he says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So, I got that going for me, as a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church before my conversion. And as touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. All right? This is Paul describing himself in his bodily, physical advantages. So he says, if anybody has anything to brag about, I have more. Because when it comes to this whole chosen people thing, I've got it in spades. Do you see what he's saying here? Now watch what he does. He says, but what things were gained to me? All the things I thought were to my advantage, those I counted loss for Christ. I chalked them all up and put them in the debit column. Why? Because I have Christ. He says, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything in this world, everything in this life, he says, I count them all, I put them all in the debit column. Why? Because of the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And he goes, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So I don't care about my attainments in this life. I don't care about the things that I used to boast about. What I care about and what I rejoice in is the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness which God imputes to believers in Jesus. And he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. So what Paul is doing here is he's saying, listen, if anybody has anything to boast about in terms of physical, fleshly attainments, I have it more than most people. But I consider it all a pile of garbage next to the excellency of knowing Christ and being declared righteous in the eyes of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So he first talks about his faith in the Lord. And then he talks about his life as a Christian. Listen to what Paul says about his life as a Christian believer. He says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. All right, so I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived at the finish line yet. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. So he speaks of himself, I'm not at the finish line yet. I'm not done. I'm not perfect. But I'm following the Lord faithfully so that I can apprehend the things that I am also apprehended of by Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. All right? But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says, this is the secret of living as an imperfect person through faith in Christ. You forget what's behind. You confess your sins. You acknowledge and confess your sins. Put it behind you and forget them. And you press on, keeping your eyes on Jesus. I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, so that's how he describes his life. He describes his faith as this wonderful, finished trust in Christ. And he describes his life as, listen, I'm not at the finish line yet. I'm still chugging along. But this is what I do. I forget what's behind and I press on to the finish line, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right. All that by way of introduction. Why? Because in our epistle text today, it begins by Paul saying, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. What's he saying there? He says, you know what I just told you about my faith in Christ and in Christ alone, and how in my life I'm pressing on, forgetting what's behind, and pressing on? I want you to follow me as an example. I want you to have the same faith. And I want you to think the same way about your life of service to God. I want you to be absolutely sure of your redemption. And I want you to humbly continue to run the great race until we finally, by the grace of God, get to the finish line. All right? So he says, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so. That is, pay attention to your fellow Christians and particularly those who are like me. That is, who have my faith and who live my life. You have us for an example. So what Paul is saying is that we have the example of the apostles and the other faithful Christians whose lives are recorded for us in the Bible. Their faith is recorded for us, and their response to God's grace and good works are recorded for us. And we are to pattern our faith and our life after their examples. Why? Because they followed the Word of God, they trusted in the Lord, and they endeavored by the gift of the Holy Ghost to live godly lives in this world. Therefore, we are to stay in the Word of God by following the example of faithful Christians, their faith and their life. Okay. He gives two reasons for this. The first one is a negative reason, and the second one is a positive reason. The negative reason is this. He says in verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." There are people who are unfaithful to Jesus, even though they profess to be believers. There are people who want to be known as Christians, but they do not treasure the Word of God. They do not endeavor to, by the help of the Holy Ghost, live a godly life. They teach false doctrine instead of the truth. And they live godless lives. Now, there's two kinds of godlessness. All right? There's two kinds. Because, you know, you can fall off the tracks on one side or the other. There is the legalistic godlessness. And this is the person who outwardly is very moral, but they have faith in their good works to justify them. They think that their good works will make them righteous before God, and so they have fallen off the tracks on the right side. Right? Because they trust in their works, and their works are sinful and corrupt. The other kind of falling off the tracks and the other kind of shameful life is what we call the libertine idea. And this is the false teaching that says, Jesus came into the world to be my Savior, and He forgives me all my sins. Therefore, He doesn't really care about sin. And when God gives me forgiveness, what God is really doing is He's giving me permission to sin. Right? These are the people who think that it is perfectly in accordance with the faith to believe in Jesus and then to live a morally corrupt, scandalous, sinful life and not even feel bad about it. Not even think that they're doing anything wrong. And acting, when they get confronted about it, they act surprised. Like, what? I didn't know. Yeah, you knew, but you suppressed it. You know, one of the things about sinful human beings is we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We remember what we want to remember, but we conveniently forget the things that we don't want to remember. And so you can fall off the tracks on the side of work righteousness, trust in your works, and be a child of destruction and an enemy of the cross of Christ. Or you can fall off on the other side and think that just because God came into the world to save sinners, you now have permission to sin and that sinning is no big deal. All right? Both of these kinds of distortions of Christianity are enemies of the cross of Christ. One belittles the cross of Christ by trusting in works. The other belittles the cross of Christ by treating the cross of Christ as permission to continue in sin. All right? So he says, many walk, of whom I have told you often, even with weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Professing Christians who have fallen off the tracks on one side or the other. Don't be imitating those kind of people. Imitate Paul. Imitate those who live the way Paul lived, in true faith in Christ and in a true understanding of ourselves as forgiven sinners who are running the faithful race and winning the prize at the end. All right? Don't live like those self-deceived enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says this about them. He says, their end is destruction. These people who are enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is destruction. In other words, they are on the way to hell. Whose God is their belly. Their thoughts about religion come from the lowest levels of human motivation. Their glory is in their shame. The work righteousness, he glories, he boasts about his good works, but his good works are really sinful. And the libertine, all right, the open sinner, he boasts about his freedom to live in sin, which is really shameful and an offense to Christ. So their glory is in their shame, and they mind earthly things. That is, their minds are set on earthly ways of thinking about God. And so they've fallen off the tracks, and they're like wrecked trains on one side and on the other. Such people, we do not want to imitate. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to hold them up as examples to follow. We want to hold people like Paul the Apostle up as examples to follow. And those who walk the way Paul walked, we want to hold them up as examples. All right, that's the negative motivation. Don't be like those guys. All right? The positive motivation is this. He says in verse 20 and 21, we should follow Paul's example because our citizenship is in heaven. That's what happened to you in your baptism. In your baptism, you were made a citizen of heaven. And now, that's your true homeland. That is your true goal. That is the goal of your life, is to realize in all of its fullness your heavenly citizenship. So while you're living in this world, you're living as a foreigner, an alien, and a visitor whose true home is in heaven. And you are waiting for Jesus to come from heaven. Because when he does, it says in verse 21, he will change our vile body. That's not a fun way to think about ourselves, right? My vile body, right? But compared to him, our bodies are vile. Right? You could also translate that, he will change our lowly bodies. But the word vile is so much fun. So, you know, who will change our vile body. that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So when Jesus comes from heaven, he's going to transform us from baseness to glory, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. What does that mean? It means the power of Jesus is able to do anything. And it will be no problem whatsoever for the Lord Jesus to transform our lowly bodies so that we are glorious in our enjoyment of the kingdom of glory. So the positive motivation for patterning our faith and our life after Paul and those who followed him is that we are citizens of heaven and we're waiting for Jesus to come from there to transform us into the glory of the eternal children of God in the kingdom of glory. And that's why when we're living in this life, we want to believe the way Paul believed, and we want to think about our living in this world the way he did. And that is, we want to believe in the righteousness of God by faith in Christ as a free gift of salvation. And we want to think about our lives in this world not as having already come to the finish line, but forgetting what lies behind, confessing our sins, and believing in the gospel. We want to press on in faithful living so that increasingly our faith and our lives line up together. And we want to think, believe, and act in that Pauline, Holy Ghost, Holy Bible way. And we don't want to be like the wicked enemies of the cross of Christ, but we want to remember where our citizenship is and what glory is coming in the end. And we want to follow Paul and to mark those who walk the way Paul walked and have them as our examples. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.